Good morning, Calvary. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Title of this morning's message is Extreme Thanksgiving. Our text is 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 13 to 23. I encourage you to open your Bibles to that portion. We'll be reading that here just in a couple of minutes. I believe that Thanksgiving is a good time. It's a good thing to celebrate each year. The fourth Thursday in November of each year has been set apart to help us remember how grateful we should be. More importantly, I believe that we should live a life of thanksgiving. I believe there is a better witness to those that observe our life than to live a life of thanksgiving. And I want to pay tribute to my mom just a little bit. My mom lived to be 101 years old. And part of the thing that we can attribute her long life to is her thankfulness. My mom just was always grateful. Just rarely would she ever complain. And she lived a life of thanksgiving. And I think we do well to live that kind of life. Every morning when I get up, I make a practice to say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Every evening when my wife and I pray together, we hold hands, and one of the first things out of my mouth is, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your goodness. God is good all the time. Amen? God is good all the time. There are a goodly number of people in today's world involved in extreme pursuits of some kind. And you've probably seen them. They do really, actually, silly things. Sports especially, dangerous things. Like jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. Shouldn't do that. But people do it. And other things, bungee jumping, cliff climbing, that kind of thing. Things that don't make sense. And I think they do it for the rush of adrenaline maybe that they get, or the bragging rights, or whatever they do it for. But they do these extreme things. And some of them don't live to regret it. As Christians, I am proposing an extreme pursuit as well, and that is extreme thanksgiving. Extreme thanksgiving. There are normal everyday things that I can and should be thankful for. I should be thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I should be thankful for a lawn that's full of leaves right about this time of the year that need to be picked up. Windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing, because that means I have a home to live in. I should be thankful for the spot at the end of the parking lot at Walmart, but because it means I can walk to Walmart and I get a little exercise actually doing it. I should be thankful. I'm thankful for the utility bills that come in because it means I have lights and heat and a phone and internet service. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about the government because it means that we have the freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the person behind me in church that sings off key because it means I can hear and that he at least is trying to help sing. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and things I need to pick up around the house because it means I have a family. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off while it's still dark outside because it means I can get up and get going and that I likely have a job. But that's not what the message is about this morning. It is extreme thanksgiving is being thankful for those things, but so much more. The people of ancient Judah were in trouble, somewhat like the nation of Israel is today in our text in Chronicles. Their enemies were threatening their very existence. And they didn't probably have the saying, from the river to the sea, but they were thinking it, okay? We want to exterminate these people. Please stand with me as I read from the scripture. Second Chronicles 20, verse 13 to 23. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. 2 Chronicles 20:13 to 23. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeuel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an inhabitant end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. You may be seated. What a Thanksgiving service that was. That was extreme Thanksgiving. They gave thanks before God even intervened for them. When they gave thanks, God went to bat for them. And how? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." There's no question about the will of God for us in this regard. A lot of times we have questions about the will of God. What's God's will for me in this? There's no question about this. Give thanks in all circumstances. We know that's God's will in all circumstances. No question. Extreme thanksgiving is about giving thanks in all circumstances, even when it takes a special grace to give thanks, even when it's tough to do so. And Paul practiced what he preached, what he wrote here to the Thessalonians. I think we can all remember the jail experience that Paul and Silas had in Philippi. You know, they were beaten for no reason. They were beaten in the public square, and then they were thrown into prison. And at midnight, they praised God, and they gave thanks to God. That is extreme thanksgiving. This is something we can all grow in. I don't think there's somebody in this room today that can't grow in giving thanks in all circumstances. Erwin Lutzer says, "It's only when we choose to give praise for the rough spots in life that we begin to see them from God's perspective. If we don't give thanks in all things, we are living in unbelief. For we are assuming that our circumstances are not controlled by a God who loves us." That hits me right between the eyes. If I can't give thanks to God in all circumstances, I'm living in unbelief. Because I'm kind of saying that, God, you're not in control. And you're not in charge of what's happening to me. We as Christians, above all people, have reason to give thanks. We know that our God is able and willing to accomplish things for our good and our spiritual well-being. We feel his love for us. And the world is full of ungrateful people. I guarantee you, you run into somebody every day, wherever you are, that is very, very ungrateful. It's like this old guy at the post office. A man was writing at the post office desk, was approached by an older fellow who had a postcard in his hand. The old man said, "Sir, could you please address this postcard for me?" The man gladly did so, and he agreed to write a short message on the postcard, and he even signed it for the man, too. Finally, the man doing the writing said to the older man, "Now, is there anything else I can do for you?" The old fellow thought about it for a minute, and he said, "Yes, at the end, could you please put P.S., please excuse the sloppy handwriting." There are things that we can get a better handle on in giving God thanks, the unusual things, the things that would not make sense to the unbelievers around us. Things that God's word tell us of. What things, you say? And I'm going to present to you four extreme Thanksgiving items this morning. Extreme Thanksgiving. Number one, for the discipline of God that leads us to repentance. This is extreme thanksgiving, for the discipline of God that leads us to repentance. You say, "Well, I don't want to give thanks for that." Yeah, you need to. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 12. I want to read a few verses there. Hebrews 12, begin reading at verse 4. Hebrews 12, verse 4. "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So I'm going to encourage you this morning to be thankful for the discipline of God that leads us to repentance. It's not pleasant, the scripture tells us here, but it works a peaceable fruit of righteousness in us. I remember as a child, I never really was thankful for discipline. I don't know about you. Did you get up after your mom or dad giving you a good spanking and say, "Thank you. Thank you very much. I know this is for my good"? I never did. I don't think I ever did that. I was thankful that it wasn't any worse, or at least I should have been. I was thankful that my brothers and sisters also got disciplined because they really deserved it, right? I was thankful, but not for the discipline that I got. And even today, as an adult or a youth, we struggle to appreciate discipline. We can get along without it, we're pretty sure. We hope that someone else is getting it because it's obviously for their good. Extreme thankfulness will allow us to thank God for discipline. There really is no other way to getting mature in our Christian walk of life than to experience some discipline for fitness. There are no shortcuts to maturity. I saw a t-shirt on the back of a youngster a while back in one of our public schools. It was an advertisement for the Marine Corps on the back of this kid's t-shirt. It said, "Pain is the weakness coming out of our bodies. Pain is the weakness coming out of our bodies." If it's good for the Marine Corps, it's good for us. Pain is the weakness coming out of our bodies. When God gives us pain, many times it can be a discipline that he is trying to work in our life. It isn't always, but it can be, and we should be looking at it that way, that maybe this is a discipline that God has given us, and he wants us to grow. He wants us to to mature. Our scripture that I just read in verse 5, it says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't make light of it. It's very important in our lives. It's very important. It's crucial. It's necessary, and it happens to all of God's children. Without it, we could never progress into spiritual maturity. We would be like sickly little brats running around, undisciplined, spoiled children. The Lord disciplines those he loves, verse 6. He wants us to succeed. The one he has his eyes on, the one he's looking out for, he disciplines those. When we're disciplined, we are treated like sons and daughters, part of God's family. Dennis Miller shares the following. Out of parental concern and a desire to teach our young son responsibility, we require him to phone home when he arrives at his friend's house a few blocks away. He began to forget. However, as he grew more confident in his ability to get there without disaster befalling him, the first time he forgot, I called to be sure he had arrived. We told him the next time it happened, he would have to come home. A few days later, however, the telephone again lay silent, and I knew if he was going to learn, he would have to be punished. But I did not want to punish him. I went to the telephone, regretting that his great time would have to be spoiled by his lack of contact with his father. As I dialed, I prayed for wisdom. Treat him like I treat you, the Lord seemed to say. With that, as the telephone rang one time, I hung up. A few seconds later, the phone rang, and it was my son. I'm here, Dad. What took you so long to call? I asked. We started playing, and I forgot. But, Dad, I heard the phone ring once, and I remembered. I'm glad you remembered, I said. Have fun. How often we think of God as just waiting to punish us when we step out of line. I wonder how often he rings just once, hoping we will phone home. No discipline, our scripture that we just read says, is pleasant when it happens. Later, it produces a harvest of righteousness. Discipline is the rain for the seed. It is the hot sun. It's not what we would choose at the time, but it will produce a harvest of righteousness. I don't know if you have an older person, godly person whom you admire. I do. Right now, the one I'm thinking of has passed on, but I admire this man. He's such a godly man, such a man that I would like to emulate, such a man that I would like to be like. How did he get like that? He got that way because God worked with him. God disciplined him. God worked with him. There was a lot of pain in this man's life that I'm thinking of. There was a lot of pain in that man's life. And the pain that was in his life was the weakness coming out of his body. And the discipline that he received worked in him a great harvest of righteousness. Those people that we admire, did they get there on soft couches? Were they carried through life? No, they were not. They were not fed milk and sugar puffs. Did they have no wounds? Did they have no scars? They did have. Ben Patterson writes, it came by way of two ruptured lumbar discs. The doctor prescribed 6 weeks of total rest. The horrible pain prevented me from lying in bed. Those weeks were spent on my back, on the floor. My eyes didn't focus well due to the painkillers and the muscle relaxants, so I could scarcely read. I was of no use to the church, I thought. So I asked my wife to bring me the pictorial directory. I decided I'd pray for every member every day. It took me nearly 2 hours. This was no great piety. Mainly I was bored and frustrated. But toward the end of my convalescence, I said to the Lord, you know, these times of prayer have become sweet. it's too bad I don't have time to do this when I'm at work. Stupid, the Lord replied pleasantly. You have the same 24 hours each day when you're well. The trouble with you, Ben, is when you're well, you think you're in charge. When you're sick, you know you're not. Amen? Give thanks in all circumstances, because we understand, because we trust him. Second point to the message this morning, extreme thanksgiving is for the, we should be giving thanks for the privilege of representing Christ to the world. We should be giving thanks for the privilege of representing Christ to the world. 1 Peter 4 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. I don't know if you've given thanks in a situation where someone has given you pushback because you are a Christian. I won't ask for a show of hands, but that probably doesn't happen a lot to you, that you try to be a good Christian witness and somebody doesn't slap you literally today on the face, but they do it in a backwards way. If you are really, really living that Christian life, you will occasionally experience that. I have. Not often, but I have a time or two. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, if you've never had that happen to you, you don't know the joy that you experience when that happens to you. The Bible says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when they persecute you as a believer, not because you did something dumb, but because you have stood up for Christ. You've represented Christ to the world. And that fact causes a pushback, causes the persecution maybe that you're feeling. But I'm here to tell you, go ahead and do it, because the joy that you experience in that period of time is worth every little bit of it. There's a deep joy that wells up. You know what? I'm Christian. They did this to Christ, and now they're doing it to me. That tells me that basically I'm where I should be. They did it to Christ, and they're doing it to me. Give thanks for the privilege of representing Christ to the world. Blessed are those who are persecuted for Christ, because they're going to be glad. Number three. Extreme thanksgiving for other believers who are different from us. Are you thankful for your brother and sister who is very, very different from you? You know, we have them here at Calvary. We got all types here at Calvary, don't we? They're very different from us. They're very different from us. But I want to give thanks for them. Why? Because I need them. I need that person who is so different from me. We have in this church, we have conservatives. We have liberals. We have all different stripes here in this church. And sometimes they can rub me the wrong way, right? I'm not like them. So when they say something or do something, that can rub me the wrong kind of way. But you know what? That's what the body is for. You're a toe, I'm a foot, you are a liver, I'm whatever part of the body. And we're so different. And we need each other. We need the different things that each one of us can provide in this body here at Calvary. We need you. Amen? We need every one of you. Please keep coming to church. Please join this church, okay? We need you. We need you. We need every one of you to be a part of this body. because you are different than I, and God ordained it that way. We need to be extreme thanksgiving is to say thank you. Thank you for Josh. You know, I get along really well with Josh, so I'm just using him as an example, okay? He doesn't rub me the wrong way. But I'm just saying that because it's a safe thing to do right now, okay? But there'll be some person in the church that doesn't rub me. Can I go home and say thank you? Thank you for that person because I need him. And the body needs that person. Those who are different from us, we need you. If we were all the same, the body would become unbalanced and eccentric. Thank God for the ones around you in this church who are different from you, the ones you have trouble understanding, the ones you have trouble tolerating, even the ones who constantly seem to go out of the way to irritate and frustrate you. Even the ones who are slow, even the ones who are too conservative or too liberal, even the ones who are obviously not with it. Thank God that he holds us together with his love in our hearts. Thank God we are not all the same. This is extreme thanksgiving. Finally, the fourth point that I want to make this morning, thank God for the prosperity that God grants us. Thank God for the prosperity that God grants us. All of us enjoy prosperity in a physical sense. We like a bigger paycheck. We like a good crop that's been harvested, that's encouraging. Nothing wrong with thankfulness for success. It's so nice when it happens. But our tendency is to feel that this is what God, that a bigger paycheck is God's blessing. And when God doesn't give us that bigger paycheck, we like to think that God is not blessing us so much. Our tendency as humans is to feel that the blessing of God is abundance. The more, the better. The easier the life. But contentment is not in these things. Contentment is not there. The unregenerated human heart is never content. Contentment is learned. Some parts of Mexico, there are hot springs and cold springs can be found right next to each other. Because of the convenience of this natural phenomenon, the women often bring their laundry and boil their clothes in the hot springs and then rinse them in the cold ones. A tourist who was watching this procedure commented to his Mexican friend and guide, he said, "I imagine they will think old Mother Nature is pretty generous to supply such ample, clean, hot, and cold water here side by side for their free use." The guide replied, "No, senor, there is much grumbling because she supplies no soap." As Christians, we are thankful that we do not have to spend our lives in the vain pursuits of the rest of humanity. This next illustration is going to mean more to you mothers, perhaps, than to the rest of us. Psalm 131 says, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." John Ortberg writes this, "An unweaned child is a noisy child. The unweaned child has learned that eventually noise leads to the satisfaction of its desires. Even if it doesn't, the noise itself appears to bring some relief. Or at least it makes others as miserable as the unweaned one. The weaned child, however, has learned that the presence of the mother is about more than the immediate gratification of desire. The weaned child has become capable of stillness. The weaned child can have a whole new form of communication with the mother. The weaned child has entered into a whole new relationship with its mother. Now the mother is more than simply one who exists to satisfy need, to take away hunger. The mother can become a person, not just a need meter. There is a catch, of course. Weaning is not a popular process, at least not for the one being weaned. Children rarely volunteer for it because it is both costly and painful. Weaning means learning to live in stillness with unfulfilled desires. It is the mark of maturity. The psalmist says this is a picture of my soul. I have learned to still my heart. There has been a spiritual weaning process so that I am no longer at the mercy of my desires and reflexes and demands. God is becoming more than just the meter of my needs. I am entering into a new era listening. I have stilled my soul. This illustration really spoke to me. In my thankfulness for God, my extreme thankfulness, I am telling God, look, it's okay not to give me prosperity in the traditional sense. It's okay with you when my crop fails. It's okay with you when my vehicle has to be replaced and I don't have the money to replace it. It's okay. It's okay. I've quieted my heart before you. I am like a weaned child. I will continue to be thankful for the prosperity that God gives me. Wrapping up the message this morning, extreme thanksgiving. What are you going to take away from this? Extreme thanksgiving. I'd like for each one of you to take something away. One of those 4 points perhaps that I made earlier. Something that you have to go out of your way to be thankful for. God wants you to do that. We know that this is God's will to give thanks in all circumstances. And God bless you.